staring at me. Nothing's happening. She's not responding at all.
About 10% of the dogs in the study didn't respond either. So maybe Mango's not as smart as I thought. Or maybe she just knows that that computer is never going to take her to the park. Michaeline Duclef, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
And this is Morning Edition on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows filling in for Jeff Bossert on AM 580. Our morning commodity market coverage returns on Monday, but you can catch the closing market report and commodity week as usual during the 2 o'clock hour today. Coming up, costumes, jewelry, and shoes worn by the stars of Hollywood's Golden Age. That's on display at Boston's Museum of Fine Arts. The time now is 8:50.
WILL programming is made possible by Champaign-Urbana Ballet, presenting The Nutcracker at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Six performances are scheduled December 4th through 7th. More information is available at krannertcenter.com or 333-6280.
For the day after Thanksgiving, a blustery day with wind gusts out of the south to around 30 miles per hour. Decreasing clouds, expect a high of 38. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low around 32. Southerly winds at around 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy, not as cool tomorrow, a high up to 52. Temperatures near steady around 48 on Saturday night, with mostly cloudy skies. For Sunday, cloudy skies, a high of 58, but temperatures then falling into the 40s Sunday afternoon. We have partly cloudy skies now at Willard Airport. It's 21 degrees, the wind chill 11, southeast winds 9 miles per hour. Clear and 22 degrees at Decatur, the wind chill around 10, southeast winds at 12. And it's 24 degrees at Friends Plaza in Urbana. It's 8:51. Morning Edition continues on WYLL.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Dripping in diamonds, shimmering in silks, movie stars of the 1930s and 40s dazzled on the silver screen. Some of their costumes and jewels are now on view at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg wore sturdy black Oxfords as she toured the exhibit.
Oh, there's Clark Gable. And who's he talking to?
He is talking to Carol Lombard.
A film clip runs on a wall behind gorgeously gowned mannequins lit by sconces and chandeliers. The film is No Man of Her Own, 1932. Starring the guy who would become Rhett Butler and the beautiful blonde comedian.
What kind of book do you want?
I don't know. What could you suggest?
Well, there's poetry.
Well...
A drama?
No.
Fiction?
No.
Well, would you like Shakespeare?
Oh, Shakespeare's all right, but you know how it is. Some nights you just don't feel like Shakespeare.
Near the film clip, Boston curator Michelle Finnemore shows the actual gown Lombard wore. Long, slinky silk crepe covered in teeny gold glass beads.
I felt like we needed at least one completely bugle beaded dress in the show because it's a very Hollywood style.
What's a Hollywood show without bugle beads?
Exactly, you need bugle beads.
Stars of Hollywood's golden age were dressed like goddesses in beads and sequins and luxurious materials.
A lot of French fabrics that are silver with metal-wrapped threads, and the metal is silver, and then it's actually gold-plated on top of it. So it's almost like they're wearing jewelry because they're actually enrobed in this metal.
In black and white films, the fabrics gave off a sheen. They gleamed and shimmered. In the early 1930s, when clunky microphones picked up every passing sound, those fancy fabrics had to be seen but not heard.
There's a lot of velvets, satins, lamés, and there is a lot of silk and chiffon, which are very quiet fabrics.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Oh, he informs me you're keeping a diary.
Oh, yes. My motto is keep a diary and someday it'll keep you.
Mae West was a vamp With her curves and wriggles, she was the 30s version of Marilyn Monroe. She's represented in the Boston show by a surprisingly high-necked purple Schiaparelli gown that shrouds two of her best features. Of course, there is a flowering vine that snakes up her body from hem to neck. Curator Emily Storer says Mae West, a major star, was petite.
We've read varying accounts of how tall Mae West was. She was between 4'11 and 5'2.
On screen, she looked larger than life. Now we know why. She wore shoes that made her 8.5 inches taller. A feat of foot engineering. Each shoe has two layers. On top, white platform shoes with ankle straps. Built right underneath them, silver pumps made of wood.
Under a long dress, you wouldn't notice that these shoes were being worn. These silver toes would just peep out through the hem of the dress.
Mae West is said to have worn them all the time, on screen and off. Her jewelry was also larger than life, a ring, pin, and bracelet made of massive aquamarines and diamonds.
And she, of course, would have worn them all together and likely with other jewels as well.
Stars used their own jewelry in films. It showed off their wealth and power. A spiffy sapphire and diamond necklace, a gold bracelet so big it would protect you in a dark alley. More restrained, Joan Crawford's suite of jewelry, a matching necklace, bracelet, and pin of gold, diamonds, and aquamarines. On or off screen, it was always important for her to look glamorous.
Joan Crawford once said, "I never go out of the house unless I look like Joan Crawford, the movie star. If you want the girl next door, go next door."
Better to go to Boston if you can. The Museum of Fine Arts exhibition Hollywood Glamour runs through early March. Clothes and jewels from the days before Manolo Blahnik shoes hit the red carpets, days when the dazzle was on the big silver screen. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
And you can see some of that dazzle at NPR.org. Now, a mathematician of that era was hardly glamorous in his day, but the story of Alan Turing is dramatic enough to find its way to the silver screen. Kenneth Turan has our review.
The Imitation Game is the kind of crackerjack film it's pure pleasure to experience. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch, TV's Sherlock Holmes, as mathematician Alan Turing. He was a codebreaker of genius who helped win World War II, only to be humiliated and destroyed because of his sexual orientation by the post-war establishment he helped to save. Things get cracking in 1939 when Turing offers his services as a codebreaker to a spit-and-polish military man, played by Charles Dance, who takes an instant dislike to the formidable mathematician.
"I like solving problems, Commander. And Enigma is the most difficult problem in the world."
"No, Enigma isn't difficult, it's impossible. The Americans, the Russians, the French, the Germans, everyone thinks Enigma is unbreakable."
"Good. Let me try, and we'll know for sure, won't we?"
The German super-secret Enigma machine was considered all but unbreakable because of the millions of options possible for the codes it created daily. The British put together a team to break Enigma's codes, but being a team player is definitely not Turing's style. He hopes to be Enigma by creating a machine that can think. But he's such a pain that his teammates almost hope he fails. Turing's fortunes begin to change when he hires a female math whiz, well played by Keira Knightley. She's a level-headed woman who has a gift for people Turing lacks.
"It doesn't matter how smart you are. Enigma is always smarter. If you really want to solve your puzzle, then you're going to need all the help you can get. And they are not going to help you if they do not like you."
After the war, Turing is arrested for what the law calls gross indecency, and his life collapses. Actor Cumberbatch has been excellent in the past, but his performance here makes this difficult, complex man accessible, even sympathetic. Sherlock Holmes, I'm afraid, will have to step aside. This is the role of Cumberbatch's career.
The movie is The Imitation Game. Kenneth Turan reviews movies for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
Thank you for the eyesight to see and the courage to say what I see and the creativity to say it with eloquence.
Thanksgiving Grace was always eloquent from Maya Angelou. We'll remember her and gather together with poet Nikki Giovanni and a Minnesota blessing from Garrison Keillor. I'm John Burge with music and stories for Thanksgiving. It's Giving Thanks from American Public Media.
Friday mornings at 10 and again at 8 p.m. on AM 580.
More Morning Edition coming up on AM 580. In the weather forecast, a blustery day, wind gusts to around 30 miles per hour, decreasing clouds, the high 38. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low 32. Mostly cloudy but not as cool tomorrow, the high around 52. Right now, partly cloudy, 21 degrees at Willett Airport, clear and 22 at Decatur. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.
Good morning. When President Obama was first elected, he vowed to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay. Now the effort to release or move detainees has been reinvigorated. Coming up on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. We'll visit a small town in the Netherlands that lost three families on that airliner shot down over Ukraine last summer. One man tells of picking through a field of twisted metal, children's toys, and suitcases. We'll remember a household name in the Arab world, songstress Sabah, rose to fame in Egypt in the 1940s. And while many Americans scramble to snatch up Black Friday deals, others are spending big on art. We'll hear about the exclusive world of art buying among the super rich. It's Friday, November 28th, the birthday of John Stewart, who's 52. News is next.